I wish we were here on other issues, like signage and free tickets or something. But we wanted to give you a little overview on where we're at and some of the news that broke yesterday. Mainly give you a little intro on where we're at with the team, talk a little bit about the TV deal, and then go into the lawsuit. So I'm going to kind of just read this, and then we'll certainly be glad to ask any questions you might have. We called the press conference today because we feel it's important to provide you and our fans with some insight to the lawsuit that we filed yesterday and to provide you with an accurate picture of these issues. We have been stunned and extremely disappointed by our partners during this process, which we will explain momentarily. Before doing so, we want to once again remind our fans that our goals are, and to reiterate, that the plan for the Ball Club is coming together very well. Our minor league system has been our top priority when we took over the team 2 years ago, and it has improved dramatically. We have the lowest ranked system in 2011, and now we are widely regarded as one of the top minor league systems in baseball. We established a nice nucleus of young players on the major league level, and we're excited about the young players we have on the way up next year. We're very proud of the work the entire organization has done. Although painful the last year, 2 years, we feel confident this is the way to build a sound franchise. We're getting closer on the field. This offseason, will we enhance our young players by signing some talented free agents and improve our that will improve our team. Things are definitely moving in the right direction with the team. Even though our baseball plan is headed in the right direction, we understand we still have a lot of work to do. Go over a little bit of the TV deal. Fixing our minor league and major league system has been our priority. Our other focus has been to secure a TV deal that's good for the Astros and our fans. We want our fans to be able to see our games, and we want our financial stability to be able to field a team that can compete for championships. We want a deal that is in line with teams that we are competing with. Without a competitive TV deal, we will not be able to compete year in and year out at the levels of our competitors from a salary standpoint. We did not buy this team to field a low payroll. We bought this team to consistently compete for championships, and you cannot do that unless you have a good TV deal. It's been extremely frustrating and disappointing to us and our fans that have not been able to see and watch a lot of these games. We know our fans are frustrated, we hear you, and we feel the same way. Our process with the baseball operation has gone good. Our TV deal has been a bust to date. Comcast has been unable to negotiate affiliate deals that make the network financially viable. Over the last 2 years, they have recommended that we approve only one offer, and that offer would have resulted in the network losing $200 million. It didn't add up. It would have been an offer that, if we had approved, our interest in the network would have turned from 46% to zero, and the results have been that we would have had a below-market payroll. As I've said repeatedly, we're not in the business to cut a long-term bad deal. We've always been willing to sacrifice, to step up, and try to make this work short-term, but we could not sign a long-term 20-year bad year deal. We want to make sure that the Astros are treated fairly moving forward. A little bit about the lawsuit. Yesterday, we filed a lawsuit against Drayton McLean and Comcast for misrepresentations that they made to us about the network. This is something that we didn't do lightly. I recognize the magnitude of the lawsuit. Misrepresentations were made about the RSN that may damage the Astros organization, as I mentioned earlier, for the next 20 years. The deal was signed for 20 years. We will not allow this to happen to the franchise. Drayton, Leslie, and Comcast all participated in setting a business plan at rates that were secretly known, included inflated rates that none of the other distributors have paid to date except Comcast. These inflated rates set the value for the network and increased the purchase price of the team. During our due diligence period, we interviewed representatives from each group. They assured us that the numbers in the business plan were Comcast numbers based on their expertise in the market and the rates were achievable. I've repeatedly said something doesn't add up here. What didn't add up was the Comcast business model could be so far off. When the network launched, Comcast was unable to get carriage. The offers from Time Warner Cable, DirecTV, AT&T were way under the Comcast business model. They didn't miss a little bit. They weren't even close. When we were doing our due diligence, McLean and Comcast prevented us from reviewing their files related to the RSN. We were shown the business model, but they wouldn't produce it to us. We were only allowed to look at it. We demanded that they meet with us to confirm these numbers. Drayton finally arranged for a phone call with his representatives and Comcast representatives. During that call, both groups confirmed to us that the business model was based on Comcast's expertise in the market and their numbers that Comcast said were achievable. What they did tell us, that is in 2010, what they didn't tell us, was in 2010, Leslie and Drayton cut a deal with Comcast where Comcast included inflated numbers in the business model in exchange for Comcast's purchase of the network and Comcast getting the most favored nations clause. Comcast agreed to do it, but told Drayton and Leslie that the carriers would never pay these rates, but they didn't tell us. They withheld the information. We had asked them if the numbers were market rates, and they said yes. We didn't discover this until a meeting in December 2012 when we had a meeting in New York with the Rockets and Comcast. We were arguing about the network, and Bob Pick, an executive of Comcast, turned to Leslie and told him, I told you those numbers wouldn't fly. I was sitting in the meeting. I couldn't believe it. They knew at that point the numbers were inflated. These misrepresentations have caused an enormous loss, and they've hurt our fans and they've hurt our city of Houston. Because of these misrepresentations, we're stuck in a network deal that cannot get off the ground. So we now face a situation where we either accept millions of dollars of loss each year with the damage to this franchise and the city for the next 20 years, or we fight back. We did not buy this team to have a low payroll and be mediocre. We bought this team to win championships, and we bought part of this network so our fans could watch the games. So the Astros are going to keep fighting on both of these fronts and hopefully have some good results in the near future. So I'll open it up for questions.
Hey, gentlemen, given that Les has mentioned as being on hand for the 2010 conversation with Comcast and with Drayton, Why are Les and Rocket Ball not included as defendants in this lawsuit?
I'll let Charles answer that one.
We've evaluated this extensively. There were some issues that required us to file suit yesterday. In the purchase agreement, there is a two-year limitation on when we can bring these claims. So if there is a claim that's going to be filed against the Rockets, then there's additional time to do that. We did not feel like now was the time that we had to make that decision. So we were very disappointed in learning that the Rockets had misrepresented these things to us. We talked to them about this during our due diligence. We expected them to tell us the truth. We didn't find out that information, but it's not something that we needed to address in this lawsuit.
Was that in any way affected by the conversation yesterday in bankruptcy court where Les indicated he might be interested in buying it?
Not at all. We've always known that Leslie had an interest in that.
Would you be able to set a number at this point on the amount of damages that you feel have taken place to the company because of the nature of the network agreement and the losses that the team has experienced, both that lost rights fees, lost goodwill, whatever other losses that might be entailed?
Not at this time.
Would you say millions, tens of millions?
I'd say it's ten. Tens, probably hundreds.
What's the best possible outcome, and how soon can you get to that point? Is this going to move fast or slow?
Well, the next, you know, we're still, you know, the court appointed me to go out and try to see if I could strike a deal with some of the other partners. We had a hearing on that yesterday, and we do have some traction with some other parties. We're working through some offers. Hopefully, there'll be something significant there. We go back to the court on December to present that to the judge, and I think Giles could kind of run you through the sequence from there.
Jim, the average fan or viewer might say, it seems to them, I'm not saying this is the case, it seems to them it's a lack of due diligence. Why didn't you do more due diligence? Why didn't you know more? Wasn't there more information? How would you respond to that? I guess the bottom line is most fans would say buyer beware.
Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly we're not looking for the, you know, the fan sympathy here. What we want is the games on TV. And, you know, we're not discouraged at all where we're at. We're going to still stick with the business plan. So we're more than happy to move forward. We do think it can have a significant impact on the team over the long term. And when we did our due diligence, we checked everything. I literally looked at five sets of books. We had access, had made offers on other teams, and we had a lot of information. And we went deep into this area because it was, at the time, it was $326 million of the $615 million purchase price. So it was over half of what we paid for the team. Now, we understand business models sometimes don't work, but they don't work from 326 to zero. So, I mean, that's where our dispute is. And, you know, we think if properly represented, as we've said in the lawsuit. Listen, I was just talking to Reed earlier, and I looked at the newspaper. Nobody wants to read this in the sports section. I mean, this is not a dispute. We're really trying to pull the fans in. We just feel bad because the games aren't on TV. And we want to be honest and upfront, and we've tried to communicate everything we're doing here in a fair and forthright manner, and that's what we're doing today.
Jim, how do you explain to people, how do you explain to the fans, with all your business experience, with your highly paid legal team, how do you explain to them that you were just duped? How do you get them to make sense of it?
Well, you know, it's quite simple, as I made the statement. I mean, when you've got their executives telling you, you know, and by the way, the business plans did line up with other cities. I mean, it wasn't like this was in Mars or anything. But the way it was structured, got it front end loaded, and you know anybody can make the assessment after that. We're not asking the fans to understand it or take responsibility for it. I take full responsibility for it, and we're dealing with it. So we want to be upfront and communicate about it.
If you've taken responsibility for it, has someone been punished in some way? Has someone been fired as a result?
No, you'd have to fire me. I'm sticking around.
Jim, the lawsuit mentions the network is being, I believe the phrase is, overpriced and broken. Has its value declined from that $326 million quote value? And if so, what do you think the value of your share of the network is at this point?
Well, you know, we really looked at it from a long, it's can get quite complex. There's two ways you get paid. You get paid your rights fees, and then you get a percentage of the profit of the network. And, you know, when the percentage of the profit of the network is nothing, nothing from nothing is nothing. So if you get, you know, a nice business running, and it's a it's quite a simple business. There's three areas of expense. It's to run the network, to run the studio and the trucks and shoot the games, the money that Comcast spends, the money they pay the Rockets, and the money pay us. It's a $150 million business. And you have to have $150 million coming in, and that's why, you know, early on we were saying, guys, we don't see the amount of money necessary to run this business. Something has to happen. The expenses have to go down. We need to remodel this business. And they weren't prepared to do that. They just kept giving us a deal that lost a lot of money. They wanted to lend the business a lot of money and own all the equity. So that was something we refused to do.
Do you think that the lawsuit and the facts that you brought forward, the alleged facts that you brought forward in the lawsuit, or interfere in any way with your hopes to reach a new business plan by December 12th, or to perhaps sell a portion of the network or restructure it in any fashion that would make it a profitable concern? Does this lawsuit hamper that in any way?
Well, I certainly the timing's not good. Anyone could say that. But, you know, we had to do it because of statute of limitations. We don't want that to interfere. We would definitely want to get a deal done, and I'm still working every day to try to get something structured to present the judge on the 12th. It's still a situation where you may throw the bankruptcy out. We have our right to speed back, and then we can go do whatever we want to do, which could be an option for us. But, you know, what I will say to the fans is, you know, we're working on alternatives. No matter what happens here, no matter if this thing ever gets launched or whoever, you know, stick in this deal or whatever, we're going to work very hard to get the games on at the first of the year.
Yeah, will this affect anything you do this offseason with regard to payroll and free agency?
No, we've had the plan since we came in here, as I said earlier. We're quite happy with the improvement in the minor leagues that we've seen. It's been significant, and we've got a lot of good players down there. Now the plan is to start adding to that. We've set, you know, a considerable amount of money aside this year to spend on free agent. If Jeff can spend it effectively, we will spend the money, and we will stick with the plan we have the year after that, which is to spend more. So we're setting this aside. Our partnership group believes in the city, believes in the team, and we're not going to let this alter the on-field success.
Jim, have you been in touch? What was the last time you were in touch with Drayton, and have you discussed this with him over the past whenever?
I think about 3 or 4 weeks ago, Drayton came by to see me and asked me how the TV deal was going, and I said, not very good. And that's the last time I talked.
Jim, have you read NBC Comcast statement in response to this? Get your reaction to it. If not, I'll paraphrase from it.
Please tell me.
It said, I'll paraphrase. It's, let's see here. This litigation outside the bankruptcy proceeding is a desperate act committed during a period in which Mr. Crane and his team of sophisticated advisors have been granted by the bankruptcy court an opportunity to explore and effectuate solutions to the network's serious business problems. It also says, it appears that Mr. Crane is suffering from an extreme case of buyer's remorse in aiming to blame the network's challenges on anything but his own actions.
Well, we really haven't taken any action with Comcast other than say we wouldn't approve one of the deals they presented us that lost $200 million over 10 years. We do not have buyer's remorse. We're very happy we own the team, and we'll continue to be happy, and we'll work our way through this. And the rest of it, you know, I guess we'll sort it out in court. Comcast is a $60 billion company. I've always said they could sort this. This is a $150 million business. I figured they could sort this out pretty quickly if they wanted to.
Mr. Kibbe, is typically, in your experience, how are these things, or how do you hope this thing gets resolved?
Well, it's hard to say. This is, once you start litigation like this, it could drag on for a while, but we are hoping to move it on as quickly as we can, try to get a quick resolution, and we are interested in doing that. We do not want this to drag out any longer than it needs to.
You know, I'll tell you from a business point of view, you never want to litigate. You don't want lawyers in your room. I've seen way too much of Giles lately. I'd rather see more of Bo and some of the guys on the field, but from a business point of view, you want to get it resolved. And so sometimes it takes a little force to get everybody to the table. We've been willing to come up with solutions and haven't been accepted. So, again, our focus is the long-term viability and the resources for the team long-term to compete against the Rangers, against Seattle. We're not asking for anything out of the box here.
Were you acquainted with David Boies professionally or personally before he was engaged to represent you in this?
I've met David a couple times, but I don't know him well. I knew one of his partners very well from Houston.
One more question, guys?
Jim, the fans pretty much, I guess for this offseason, they pretty much just want to know, how does this affect them moving forward?
The fans?
Free agency, meaning the team, the guys you're going to put on that field. How would this affect them? Are you still committed to raising your payroll? And I know you've addressed this, but I just want to ask you specifically, are you still committed this offseason to raising your payroll?
Yeah. We've Jeff Jeff hasn't, I haven't really discussed this with him other than to tell him what was going on, but his mission is still the same. They're still up there working right now, trying to improve the team. So our plan is the exact same plan, whether we made this lawsuit or we didn't make the lawsuit. They'll continue to move forward, and we've executed that probably in the last couple of years. This was the year where we had enough depth, and he can go over this in great detail. We had enough depth in the team where we could really add some players that could basically have some impact and not alter what he's got coming in through the pipeline. And so that's why we were willing to move forward. And, you know, as I've mentioned many times, I mean, we'll run a model like the Braves and like the Cardinals where they have a lot of good players coming out of their farm system. You saw in the World Series, the Cardinals had 16 players that I think Jeff drafted. That's the kind of combination we're looking for. So, you know, maybe you sign a few guys from another team, a few key free agents, but you can't, you know, they can't run a payroll with Los Angeles or New York or like that. So that, what this TV deal originally did was put us in, I call it the medium income family.
Jim, does MLB have a role in this whatsoever? Could they be mediator or anything at all?
We kept MLB aware of everything we've done before we've done it, so they know we were going to file this lawsuit. They were aware of that and agree. You know, they've not disagreed with anything we've done. Whether that they won't mediate this, I don't believe.
John, just to make sure I understand, you said that the lawsuit can be amended to add more defendants if you wish to do so, but you're not prepared to say at any point in time if it will be amended to add more defendants.
That's right.
Okay, guys, I'm going to wrap up. Thanks a lot for coming, folks. Appreciate it.